This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
The budget I just outlined to the legislature cuts excess spending in appropriate areas and redirects that spending to meet some of our biggest challenges that we face here in South Dakota. It addresses meth, nursing home funding shortages, and then also mental health. So it's a budget that balances. We do not raise taxes in this budget. We also make sure that we don't spend money that we do not have in the door, and we maintain a 10% reserve fund to make sure that we're preparing for the future and possible occurrences that could happen then as well. So with that, I will open it up to any questions that you may have. Yes.
So I'm interested in nursing home.
Yes.
And I just wanted to understand a little better about how that money will work. So the 2.5%, is that in the Medicaid pay rate that the providers will get?
Yes, we will add that to the provider rate. And then we are working to make sure that the shared savings that come from the care coordination agreements are then plugged right back into those provider pay increases and addressing trying to get all of those providers in the state up to the 100% funding level. So nursing homes will end up at approximately a 5% increase, and then the additional $5 million that will be utilized for innovation and programs that we can work on to find new models of care that they can participate in and provide for the people of South Dakota.
Can you give me, just while we're on this, can you explain this, how
that $5 million would be allocated? Is that a competitive bid process? Or
it will be
like
them
that?
Bringing forward new ways to deliver care to those in their charge. So community living homes is one of the proposals that we have a need for in the state of South Dakota, that they should be looking on plans for how to develop that kind of care. We talked about respite care services in the home, making sure that families are eligible for those types of services so that people could possibly stay in their home longer before they go into a nursing home. Also making sure that individuals have the opportunity to stay in assisted living centers longer. So there may be different tiers of rates that happen for the kind of care that's delivered in an assisted living, so that opportunity is available as well. These are all things that people across the state of South Dakota have been asking us for. Families want to stay home longer before they go to nursing homes. They want to stay in assisted care longer before they go into nursing homes. So nursing homes will always be an incredible part of the care that we deliver for those who have that need in the state of South Dakota. But this is a time to really drive innovation in that space and care for that population. I had a great meeting yesterday with many of the CEOs from nursing homes and appreciated all of their input and their knowledge on these areas, and it was incredibly helpful in putting together the budget. So they're looking not just for provider rates, but they're also looking for opportunities to partner in some of those innovation grants that we laid out today.
And is the 2.5, I'm sorry, just to be clear, does that also go to the community service providers
Yes.
that are funded by Medicaid?
Yes.
So it's not, nursing homes is a part of that?
Nope. And we're taking those shared savings, though, and plugging it back, trying to get all of our, because there's been different levels of funding for providers, and we're trying to get every one of those providers up to the 100% refund level. So what we'll do is we'll be giving you a spreadsheet so that you have all the hard data that you need to specifically speak to what type of provider we have in the state that gets reimbursed by Medicaid, so that you can have that for your reporting.
Oh, you'll have that. We'll have that today?
I believe you will. Yeah, it'll be talked and briefed to the Appropriations Committee in the morning. So I'm not sure if we'll have it before then, but probably this afternoon or tomorrow morning. But.
And last thing, I don't want to dominate here, but last thing on that. The 100% fund refund level, is that the $181 care per day care cost?
There's so many different providers, and the level of reimbursement rate that they were at is different.
Okay.
So our goal was to get them to 100% levels. Not all of them will be there, but a lot will be reaching that. And then if you also remember in my speech, I talked about that we would cover this for 15 months instead of 12 months. So all of these rate increases will start on April 1st.
And that's just 3 months before the start of the fiscal year.
Correct.
So there's more time to, okay. Thank you.
Yep.
I want to make sure I understand. You mentioned the care coordination agreements and putting state employees into IHS facilities. Are you talking about like projecting additional savings by
yes.
doing that? Can you talk a little bit more
yeah,
about
we
that?
Aren't spending that money, but we are projecting that over time, as that continues to go forward, that there will be even more savings gathered, because those state employees in IHS facilities will handle the referral process. They'll be like caseworkers that will make sure those IHS patients are being referred to the kind of care that they need, and that we're 100% reimbursed by the federal government for that care. Many times, the cost of that care has been coming out of our Medicaid program. And instead, with these state employees there, they will facilitate that referral to make sure the federal government picks up that bill, and it will help us have more dollars available in our Medicaid program to cover individuals who rely on that program. Well, what we're doing is just spending what has already been saved, and we anticipate that as we get those employees in those facilities, that there will be future savings.
Do you know what that number is now, what's already been saved?
I can get you the details. It's a number that we plugged into a couple of different, they all went back right into provider rates.
Okay.
But the actual total dollar is $7 million or $7.2 million, I think, but let me get it to make sure that you have the correct information.
Governor Noem, Todd Epp, Kellogg.com News.
Yes. Hi, Todd.
Could you tell me what programs did you have to cut or defund to pay for some of your initiatives that you outlined this afternoon?
A lot of the dollars came out of social services, human. What we had were less utilizations of programs that we already have today. So because of the economy doing better, more people coming off of programs, we were able to save dollars and have less utilization that we then were able to plug back into critical areas of need in the state of South Dakota. So those dollars from people not participating on Medicaid, maybe their incomes went up, they had a better situation, the economy has grown, so they're doing better, come off of those programs, that savings that we have from lack of utilization was what we were able then to plug back into mental health, plug back into meth addiction treatment and enforcement, and then also be able to look at other areas of the state that need to be addressed.
So basically, you were moving some money from some parts of social services and human services that were not utilized to areas where you see the needs, like if drug addiction and so forth. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Governor, along those lines, this is Jerry at WNAX on the meth and the other programming there. You're talking about a methamphetamine media campaign. I assume you have more in mind than a Just Say No campaign.
Yes, absolutely. We have a plan to lay out a media campaign that will encompass several years that will not only educate our young folks in the state, but also the entire population on some of the real dangers that we face because of the meth epidemic that we have going on. So this will be a professional media campaign that will drive home a lot of the stories and impact to communities to make sure that they're identifying not just what meth usage looks like so that they can see it and identify it in their community and with the people that they love, but also be well-informed to prevent those who haven't been exposed to meth addiction yet from ever trying to experience it.
You didn't highlight any real additional spending on the correction side. Is that an assumption that those numbers won't be going up as rapidly?
Well, what we talked about was the changes in my budget that were different than what Governor Dugard proposed in December. So he had some Department of Corrections changes in his budget, the Jamison Annex, making sure that we were doing that upgrade to those facilities. That is still something that is planned to move forward. Because it wasn't a change, I kept it in my proposal as well. It wasn't discussed today. But what he had in his budget was my starting point, and what I discussed today was the changes that I made.
And so I just wanted to clarify the changes to the social services. Mm-hmm. Is that what's accounting for that $54 million figure that you used?
It's not the entire $54 okay. million, but it is a big portion of it, okay. Yes. And we have ongoing revenues and one-time. So there is a difference of what is saved in a one-time dollars that we can utilize for special innovation grants that we can use for one-time funding. But we made sure to only plug in ongoing revenues into ongoing spending.
Can you talk a little bit about your 2.5% increases for education employees and Medicaid providers compared to Dugard's 2.3%? How big of a magnitude is that to you, and why was it important to
Well, it was important to me that because we had savings and more revenue coming in the door, that we make sure that we're passing along those rate increases. And we also recognize that state employees are not keeping pace with market, that we need to gain ground where we can, that education has some requirements that we are asking of them, and we have some challenges to meet an ever-changing workforce and prepare our kids for that. And then obviously providers have been a main topic of conversation because of the challenges that they face and not getting 100% reimbursement for their costs on our Medicaid patients. So I'm a believer that when you have revenue and the opportunity to do rate increases, that we should be doing that and having all ships rise at the same level.
And can you talk about your thought process in terms of shelving the premium for state employees?
You know, we have real challenges in state employee and workforce competitiveness, and keeping that as a benefit, that there is no premium for their health insurance costs, I think is critically important to making sure we still can recruit the best and the brightest.
Talking about keeping people here, keeping speaking of the best and brightest, I didn't see anything in your plan at this point that really boosts sort of job and career readiness and college readiness.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you're satisfied with where the testing shows we're at, but 56% of the students, I think, proficient. It's about 55% proficient in math and language arts. And that seems low. That's, I mean,
I think there is some challenges ahead, and we need to make sure that every student within our K-12 system has the opportunity to be successful beyond graduation. But this budget today talked about spending and where state taxpayer dollars would go. Obviously, K-12 education received a 2.5% increase in funding. Beyond that, a lot of the changes that need to happen can be addressed through administration guidance and through input and reforms done at the school district level. And a reminder that in the budget address, we also talked about the fact that technical schools will be getting the 2.5 per student allocation as well. Yeah.
This is awkward. I apologize.
That's okay. It's good. I'm sorry you have to do it.
Yeah. Can you speak a little bit to, funding for a mental health court in Minnehaha County, and are you pleased with what you're seeing out of Pennington thus far?
We are. We think the Pennington Mental Health Court has been successful, and the Chief Justice and I have had multiple conversations about that and the results that we're seeing and the effectiveness of keeping people out of our criminal justice system and giving them an opportunity for treatment and guidance in a different manner, in a way that's extremely helpful for them going through the situation. So the Chief Justice and I worked out the funding mechanism. He will fund the full-time employee that is required while we will fund the costs of that court system. And I'm excited about this opportunity to have the same type of impact by putting these individuals through that mental health court and getting them facilitated into treatment rather than putting them into the criminal justice system, possibly into prison.
How does that jive with the effort to eliminate presumptive probation? Those two things right there seem like they're at odds.
Not necessarily, because presumptive probation, a lot of times, it's not necessarily mental health issues that are rising to the top there. It could be drug issues. It could be other crimes that throw someone into that situation. So I know the legislature is having the debate on presumptive probation, and I think it is something that the state is concerned about. Our law enforcement officers do feel as though there needs to be consequences when there is a violation of our laws, and that needs to be debated. My only concern is the fiscal note and what we do if we incarcerate all of those individuals. So we'll be a part of that discussion as it moves through the legislature.
Talked about a plan to, increase the spending on
intensive meth treatment.
Yes.
Expanding something that's already in the works. Can you
Years ago, the legislature passed a pilot program that had intensive meth treatment in the state. What we're looking to is expand that program, offer more beds, and have the funding follow that to make sure that that moves forward. It was very effective for those that do have meth addiction. We also have an inpatient treatment program that we will be investing in. And then by focusing with some of the organizations that do life counseling and family counseling as well, making sure that we have every level of treatment and counseling available to the people in South Dakota that are going through these crisis situations with their families.
and expansion of programs that help children that are impacted as well.
Right? Absolutely, absolutely. Well, we put coordinators in the school system in the budget today is what I recommended, was bringing in individuals that would be in our school districts helping identify children who are faced with mental health crises so that they can be coordinated to providers in their area and don't fall through the cracks. Many times what we have today in our school districts is teachers filling that gap, school counselors that are strapped and don't have enough time to facilitate the kind of care that's needed by so many of our students. And so having these professionals in our school districts helping do casework and getting those children to the type of help that they need and services and programs that are available will be incredibly helpful.
So that's new.
We have done it before. We've used contract workers to do it before, so it's professionals that we contract with to be in the school districts. We are going to be funding more individuals to do that and to make sure it can go forward into the future.
Does that need legislative approval?
I'm sure it'll be in the general bill because it's funding, so it'll go through the Appropriations Committee.
Mm-hmm. All of these things.
Yep. Absolutely, and we're planning to run them as individual special appropriation bills so that they can be adequately debated and people will be able to talk about the merits of each program.
Can you talk about the decision please correct me if I'm wrong, mm-hmm. For FY19 to dip into, I think, $28.6 million in reserves?
No, we don't dip into any reserves. What we do is we utilize savings that came because of lack of utilization in some of the departments. So Department of Social Services had less people utilizing programs. Therefore, that revenue was not spent. And what we did was redirected into other areas of need. So we redirected those dollars into meth, into mental health, into dealing with some of the situations that we feel like needs to be facilitated to make sure we're taking care of people adequately.
How do you, what's your message to lawmakers who might be cautious about that kind of spending?
Well, we've put the 10% into reserves like we always have. We are not raising taxes. What we did was use dollars that were not being utilized. There was a savings there that we're redirecting into other priority areas. So I don't see where legislators would have concern over that. They would see that as being a fiscally conservative way to manage the state of South Dakota and making sure we're being aggressive in going after some of our biggest challenges.
I'm wondering what programs were underutilized.
Will be underutilized?
That you were able to take this money from?
Well, we had less people that were utilizing Medicaid services. If people are getting better jobs, the economy's doing better, their incomes are going up, they no longer qualify for some of the poverty programs that we administer at the state level, or if the federal government is picking up more of the share of the cost of those programs, that saves the state money. So what we had, and we can give you the breakdown on the individual programs if you would like those. We can get that to you, and that was a savings that came in because DSS did not have that money going out the door, and so we redirected the spending.
I just wanted to check, piggybacking off a different mm-hmm. question. Tens to $200 million of building new prisons, potentially an effect of repealing presumptive probation, that's not included here.
No.
Does that mean it's not a priority for you, and how would you pay for it if it passes through the legislature? How would that shape your thinking?
That's the biggest question that we have today, is if presumptive probation does go away, what are the effects of that, and how much does that cost the state of South Dakota? And the need for infrastructure, court costs, really what is the ramifications of that kind of a decision? We know that the previous Senate Bill 70 has challenges and that it has been extremely frustrating for those out on the front lines. I would love to bring the stakeholders back to the table and have a conversation about the best path forward. I know the Attorney General's bill does a complete repeal. And I certainly understand why he brought that legislation, because I've heard about it across the state over and over again about the unique challenges that we have. But I am very interested in making sure that we're doing this in a responsible manner.
Thank you very much.
All right. Yep. Thanks, guys.